All right, when was it that the cow kicked over the lantern in Mrs. O'Leary's barn? Do you remember? 1871, the cow kicked over the lantern in Mrs. O'Leary's barn. A little spark started the famous Chicago fire that left 100,000 people homeless, 175,000 buildings destroyed, 300 people dead, and back in 1871, this was an awful lot of money, $400 million in damage. Just like a spark from a lamp can set a whole city on fire, the chairman of the board this morning tells us that the tongue is also a fire. Open your scriptures to James, please. James. Now, Rod, some of our guys are not very hospitable. You see, you're new, and they're all just kind of immersed in their Bibles. And they're supposed to share, but we have to remind them occasionally. I'm in an embarrassing mode here this morning. Watch out. I've got to watch out for my tongue here this morning. Okay, James. Now, guys, you'll have to forgive me, but we're not in any hurry in this book. I tried to gain some ground every week. I said, you know, the guys are going to get worn out if we don't do a chapter, but we're going to do about three or four verses, and I think that'll be plenty. When the chairman of the board, James, gets through with us here, that'll be plenty for us. We're going to pick up in chapter 3 at the latter part of verse 5 there. James chapter 3, the latter part of verse 5. James says, "Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire of hell." Wow. Fire starts small, but it grows and creates heat, and it corrupts, James says. The older translation, the King James Version, which was written in the 17th century, it says it defiles. It's a better word. It has a little bit more emotional impact. It defiles. David Butler, good morning again. How long did it take to get a smell of smoke out of your house after that terrible fire at your house? How long did it take?
Still smoke.
Still a little smoky over there. It takes a long time when fire has its way. It takes a very long time to get the defilement, the corruption out of things, okay? James says it's a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. And then the tongue goes on. It can go on to defile a marriage, a church, a business, and even a whole country. Let me read you a quote from a famous scholar on this passage. Listen to this now. This is quoting this verse. He says, "The affairs of man and of societies are often thrown into confusion, and all is on a flame by the tongues of men." Men, I, like you, stand here this morning terrified by the forest fire of words that are being thrown around today. The president's high crimes and misdemeanors may be tame compared to what could happen if the media and ambitious politicians and you and I do not use words with constraint. Solomon, King Solomon, listen to this. "As charcoal to embers, and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." Seriously, man, I'm not kidding. We need to all pray for the grace of God and for wisdom for our leaders at this point in our history. Especially that House Judiciary Committee. The Constitution provides for this crisis that we're in. The problem is going to be the tongues of men. We have the structure we need. It's a no-brainer, right? What's going to happen? The tongue. The Chicago fire may be nothing compared to the conflagration we could have out of this crisis that we're in. I don't know about you, but I'm terrified by it. Okay. James says, it corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire of hell. What we need to realize, men, is that the kind of thing that is going on in our country right now is right out of the pit of hell. Hell on earth. The devil in the scripture is expressly called. He's called a liar. He's called a murderer. And he's called an accuser of the brethren. Now lastly says, James says that the tongue sets, listen to this phrase here, I left it for last because it's a fascinating thing. I don't know about you, but I just love the literature of the Bible. And when I see something like this, I start to wonder what they're trying to say in English when James, when he originally wrote it. What was he trying to say here? He says it corrupts the whole person, and he says it sets the whole course of his life on fire. What is he saying there? Sets the whole course of his life on fire. The ancient translation, again, says it sets on fire the course of nature. Well, I've been meditating on this all week. And what I am absolutely amazed at, for instance, that I think he is getting at here, that James is going to get at here. See, I'm going to go from Washington now, and I'm going to come right down to Atlanta. I am absolutely amazed at the power that fathers have, especially in setting the course of their children's lives with their tongues. I can remember as a young man from a struggling family. We struggled. I was the oldest of five children. I think my father made something like $100 a week. Back then it was probably enough to eat on. As soon as I was old enough to work, I got the message, you better get out there and get going. I always brought my money home and gave it to my mother. I didn't know any better. I just brought it home and said, here's some money. One day my father said to me, I was outside, I must have been in close to college at the time. He said, son, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. You have nothing to show for it. You don't have a car. You don't have any clothes. I didn't get a car until I was almost out of college. I'm sure a lot of you guys are like that. My first car, I paid $75 for it. But he said, I don't know how you do it, son. Do you know what that did for my soul? The fact that my father recognized me and my contribution to that family. I always remember this about my father. It's funny, I can remember the actual transaction. Now that's a positive experience of my father using words in my life that maybe has helped set the course of my entire life. You see? But what James is getting at here, he's pointing to the damage that can happen when the tongue is on fire. I meet men. I've been working with men, if you will, I'm not going to say professionally, because that's the wrong idea, but I've been deliberately working with men for 22 years. Intentionally working with men. And I meet with men that have not received the approval, the blessing, and the admiration of their fathers. And men, it is very hard for them to recover from this. The only thing that I have found that can make the difference is the incredible grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you've had some very bad experiences as a child, they're real. You need to deal with them. You need to take them to the Lord, and you need to ask the Lord for His grace, because an awful lot of men cannot recover from the fact that they never received the blessing, the approval of their fathers. Now, why is this so serious a subject, one that we should approach with the holy dread that I am trying to enunciate here today? Why is this such a serious subject? Because James finishes this morning with this paragraph of verse 7 and 8 here. He says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Men, the scripture teaches, the chairman of the board is saying today, think of any animal. I was thinking of, is it Kiko, the killer whale that they have now brought up to spend several million dollars to move him up to the North Atlantic? Think of Kiko the whale. How about a grizzly bear? Can anybody come up with an animal that would be almost impossible to tame? How about a rhinoceros? Has anybody ever tamed a rhinoceros? James is saying the tongue is in another league. You cannot tame the tongue. How many men here this morning have said something even this week that they are sorry for and didn't want to say? How many men? I knew I'd get a big response out of that one. I know I did. With my wife, of all people. The challenge this morning is the following. Men, seriously, with holy dread, pray for our leaders during this critical constitutional crisis. Pray for our leaders. I just guess, see, they got Henry Hyde a little worked up here now, right? I bet he's sorry for his little peccadilloes there a few years ago, right? Oh, if you can maintain your integrity, wow. Not have to compromise and say you're sorry and never tell a lie. It's a powerful thing. And men, lastly, as we go to our table this morning, ask God every day to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, especially when it comes to our tongues. Can we pray together? Lord, I pray for the grace for every man here today to change and let you control our tongues. Every word that comes out of our mouth, the scripture says, is either for life or it's for death. And so often we opt for the death option. We go for the death because it feels good to sin. It makes us feel good to fly off the handle or to say something critical and not encouraging to another person, to not spend the time with another person, and to expect them to read our minds. All of these things are right out of the pit of hell, Lord, and we confess them to you. We ask for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.